Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are still in Acts chapter 5, so if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Look at what happens. It's the reason why some of the reasons why people don't accept the gospel message. It keeps them from that. Just yesterday I was in a store and I was listening. Well, I couldn't help listening. They're right next to me. Two guys that were talking. They're going through some things and they're just talking about, I don't know exactly how it came to be. Honestly, I don't remember. I just remember the last guy said, I'm always asking Jesus questions. He never answers me. Just like that. And I said, well, maybe you're not asking the right questions. And he got up because he was kind of kneeling down, walked by me, and in my ear he says, no, he's just not answering the questions I have. Then walked away. I pursued him and started banging him with my Bible. No, I did not. I just let it be. I let him walk away. Didn't want to hear him. Is that one of your fears? What are they going to do? Why is it they don't want to hear some people? Well, we're going to see some of it right here as we look through Acts. So if you will stand with me, let's look at chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we'll start at verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious. Remember, they were witnessing to them. They were basically saying, his name is Jesus, this man whom you hung on a tree. They were furious. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For it is this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even found to be fighting against God. They agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles, beaten them, or flogged them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Father, my prayer again this morning is that you would inspire us, Lord, to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Lord, just as we've cried out to say, Lord, more of you and less of us, that is our cry this morning as we look into your word. Help us to come with the confidence that what you want to teach us, you want to apply in our lives. So, Lord, or implement in our lives. So, Lord, we just pray that you would just bless this time together. And help us, Lord, to see you more clear. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we had the council. Remember, we talked about the Sadducees. We talked about why they were sad, you see. They were more the elites. They felt like they were born conservative in the sense that all they did was they accepted the five books of Moses. They rejected everything else. Everything else in the Old Testament that you have after the five books, they rejected. The oral teachings and the traditions, they rejected. They were, if you will, again, like the elite, so they were conservative in the sense, join our club, you have to be elitist. You have to be the influential, the ones that are the influencers, that's what they say about the YouTubers or whoever. or, you know, the ones that have, again, power and authority, then there, you could be in their club, which is, again, a very small group. The Pharisees were liberal in the sense that they, the Bible that you have, the Old Testament, they agreed with everything. But they also agreed with the oral and traditional teachings. That's why they were called liberal, but also they accepted anybody, poor, rich, anybody, that wanted to come and be a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a separatist. They separated themselves from the world, and what they did was they adhered to God and His Word in keeping of the law. And so, minutely keeping of the law, they would teach these, they would go overboard. Like tithing, you tithe, you remember what Jesus said, you tithe your mints, your herbs and everything, but you lack the meatier parts of the commandments of love thy neighbor and so on and so on. So again, detail, they're very good. Now Gamaliel, what he was an elite teacher. Now interesting, as you see, is that they accepted his hearing. Remember, the Sanhedrin, the majority was Sadducees. But the Pharisees still had a good party group in this too. But Gamaliel, again, was so taken with authority and respect that they adhered to what he was saying. Now, it seems like a good thing. He's saying, you know, if you're fighting against God is what you're doing. So let's just let this play out and let's just see what happens. Now, is that really a wise way of going about these things? Think with me, is it? You know, the fastest growing religions in the world are cults. At least in the United States, I should say. Cults. They must be true. They're successful. Mormonism. Successful. Jehovah's Witnesses. It's successful. Islam. Successful. No, that's not the way it works. Truth always has to be the key ingredient. Now, understand what truth is. Truth is found in how God expresses and explains and expounds. Which, number one, you have in His Word. His Word is truth. But His Word, if you will, came to being. Came to life. Came, walked among us. The central figure of truth is Jesus Christ. Everything else has to filter through this truth. God in His Word, God revealing Himself through His Son. That is truth. That's the foundation of truth. To take a truth outside of that and try to fit it in your own type of theology or even science, which we'll talk a little bit about too, cannot be true. Not because I say it, not because a theologian says it, it's because Christ says it. Creation is a big thing. In fact, what I'll show you, there's a book, and I'm trying to really cut this message down, so bear with me. There's a book that's edited by Mike Wallace. It's asking these elite scientists and intellectuals, how do you see, it was written in 2008, how do you see the world 50 years from now? So 2058. And one of them goes on and says, well, the good, bad, and ugly, and he goes through this. But the ugly was this. This is where I want you to get to, is that science and religion are incompatible. Religion hinders science. Is that true? No, because remember, truth. We hang on to truth. Truth has to be, again, centered upon Him who is God, who has the answer to everything, which I would have, if he would have stood there and asked me some questions, I would have directed him to the truth. And what that does is it brings it to the person to have to decide. And we're going to see the three reasons, if you will, and there's more, but the three key things that keep people from really thinking these things through and really wanting to know. And that's important. It's important to understand this because it helps us to not take things so personally if we share our faith. Now, knowing this, if you notice, they were furious. Why were they furious? Why would you think? It's very simple. Well, simple in the sense because we all struggle with it. It's called pride. Pride. Pride's the toughest thing to get through because I am myself and I am good. I am all right. I'll live my life. I will be the captain of my soul, as they say. But see, in Hebrews it says this, while it is said today, if you will hear the voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled. And understand, Jesus in a parable said, but the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. See, the first thing that you and I have had to come to a conclusion is I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I need saving. Saving from myself. I need to be free and have an understanding of what is truth. And that's part of my journey, honestly, was I came to a realization when I was a young teenager that the man that I thought had all the answers, I found he didn't have all the answers. And then I started looking into the different intellectuals that supposedly had all the answers, and I found they didn't have the answers either. So all of a sudden, I was starting to feel empty and thinking, what hope is there? And I said, God, if you're real, I got to know you because nobody has any answers. This ship is sailing and nobody knows where it's going. And I have found in Christ an anchor to my soul. But coming to that point, I and you had to what? We had to bow to the King, to the Savior. Pride is the biggest element that will keep someone from coming to Christ. Pride. And pride is the thing that God speaks against a lot. Because if you will, that's how Satan fell. I will. I will. I will. Leaving God out. Now, I'll say this too about that book I was referring to. Really none of them really mention God in their equation. They're going to figure it out. They can do it. They don't need God. God's a crutch. No. God is a wheelchair. Because what it does is it picks up the man or woman that realizes, I can't get off this mat called life. And then Christ comes along, picks you up, and if you will, wills you through life. It's humbling. No. It's liberating. I'm free. Free from the struggle of having to strive. Free from the I have to make something of my life to have being, have meaning, to have purpose. It frees me from all the people that are naysayers are saying, you are nothing. You're not intelligent. You're not pretty. You're not athletic. You're not this. You're not that. No, I'm exactly the way my Creator created me so I could live in harmony with Him if I just submit myself to Him. But see, it takes me to humble myself before Him and say, you made me, instead of saying, why didn't you make me thus? Why can't I do that? Why can't I do this? Why am I not prettier? Why am I not taller? Why am I not stronger? Why can't I hit that golf ball straight every time? That's a different story. But see, we all have had to come to this conclusion. And yet, I would venture to guess some of you still struggle with that. Because it's something that gnaws at you throughout your life. Which you can't do, rather than just resting in Him who can. But see, pride's the first thing I wanted you to look at. But the second thing, again, is remember, these are the elite. especially the Pharisees. This is Gamaliel. He's the intelligent one. He's the one, if you didn't know, he's the one that actually taught Paul. If you didn't know. This was the elite teacher. It's the intellect. My mind can't grasp it. I just don't see how there can be a God out there. But see, to do that, again, it has to come down to, are you asking the right questions? In John, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, talking to the Pharisees, because that's where they thought they had it all. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Yes, there's a humility in there, but it's also the intellect. You're searching them and yet you're not seeing. Now listen, if you will, this is why Jesus spoke in parables. Listen, he said in Matthew 13, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. What's he saying? He's saying this. Why did he speak in parables? Very simply, you have to say, I want to understand this. What does he mean by this? This is touching me somewhere deep inside, yet I don't get it intellectually. What does this mean? Now, for some people, it's like, he's just speaking gibberish. But wait a minute, as he would go on. The Pharisees would come up to him and say this, show us a sign. Show us a sign and we'll believe. But wait a minute. This is further along in his ministry. He healed a lot of people right before their eyes. Show us another sign. Maybe we'll believe this time. No, you won't. You can discern the sky, but you can't discern what's happening right now. You who say that you go by the scriptures, you're not reading in Isaiah where it says that I will heal the blind, the lame. You're not thinking because you don't want to see. And because you don't want to see, I will speak in parables. For those that are hurting and lonely and empty and wanting to know truth, they'll seek the truth. And if you seek the truth, you will find the truth, because you'll find me. Isn't that cool? Wait a minute, this takes all the pressure off of you and me. If they want to see, they'll see. If they want to hear, they'll hear. It's not for me to answer all their questions. No, please don't get me wrong, because the reason I'm saying this is we all think we have to be these apologists that have the answers to everything. No, you don't. We need those people. Don't get me wrong. And if you're bent that way, that you really like to dive into stuff, that's great. But you know Him, and He is the truth, and He has all the answers. And He'll give you what you need to say, the time you need to say it. And if they don't receive it, it's not on you. It's not on me. Third thing I want you to notice is it's just self-righteousness. We don't need to be saved. Why do I need to be saved? Romans 2:5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, meaning I don't want to repent, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath, revelation of righteousness, judgment of God. Because you won't look at yourself. You won't see your own sin. I was reading and read it where people comment on things. And this one guy, he said, having kids, listen to this whole thing and listen carefully. Having kids is what made me start rethinking everything I have been taught my children were adopted as older toddlers, and I knew right away that they were not born evil. They were not born evil sinners deserving hell. In my heart, I knew they were innocent, good humans. Their sinful behaviors could be explained as either developmentally appropriate or due to trauma and adoption. My kids really opened my eyes to how sick and twisted evangelical Christianity is. Now, if you had a child born in your house, then you understand something. You did not teach them to sin. They're just good at it themselves. Now, my youngest grandchild, which we've been spending a lot of time with lately, he's just over 1 year old. Cutest as cute button. You know, every 1 year old's cute as buttons. It's true. Now, to a point, his whole world, I mean, he wouldn't go to anyone except mama. Mama, mama, right? But something has transitioned in this boy. And mothers, you probably already understand this, especially as they get to be teenagers. Whew, that's a different story, I know. But all of a sudden, for no reason, this angelical child that knows no sin comes up to mama and smacks her, boom, and looks at her with this disgusted look on his face, and then smacks her again. Now, he's been disciplined for doing this, but has he stopped? No. This person that fed him, gave birth to him, nurtures him. She's the one he comes to when she cries. Smacking her? Now, everybody knows you never bite the hand that feeds you. Unless you're born human. We're sinners. And see, yes, it comes to pride, and it comes with intellect. But it's also the revelation and understanding we're all sinners in need to be saved. Now, with going on in Thaddeus and Judas, they were rebels. Thaddeus, his kind of went to nothing. But Judas was an interesting one because, again, it's that wait and see thing, which we'll talk about here in a second, is that he did die, and both of these guys died by Romans, and Jesus died by the hands of Romans, if you will. And supposedly these other two came to nothing, but Judas actually, there was a party that started from Judas. You know them. In fact, one of Jesus' disciples was part of it at one time. It's the Zealots. If you don't know who the Zealots are, they're the ones that did believe in God's law, but they also believed in God's truth. That land belonged to them, and the Romans need to go now by any force necessary. So it didn't die out. Not then. And if you will, in 70 AD, they were the big part of the rebellion that they had against the Romans. So again, wait and see is not really the best thing in the world to do. Now, I want you to notice something. That we see the success is no test for truth, but we come to this fourth. And it's the wait and see mentality. We'll see how it works for you. Now, what's good about that and what's bad about that? What's good is that we are still fallible, you and I. We're sinners. But still, the good part about it is there's something true about you and true about me. What is it? I am different. Oh, not because I made myself different. No, 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 no. God has now taken residence in me, keeps me on that path. Oh, I fall. I go off the path, just like you do. But he's the one that says, get back on. He's the one that's given me hope. So when things happen around me, I don't just freak out. I know he's got it. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't just sit there and go, oh, God, you got it. I mean, again, it's that understanding deep inside. I get it. You got it. When my parents died, God's got him. My sister-in-law died. God's got her. When people die that I know they're in the faith, there's a comfort there. Amen? I miss them. But God's got them. And that's good. And it's relaxing. It brings peace. Now, to wait and see, to see how things work in our lives, could help people come to faith. And that could be a good thing. But also, there's a wait and see that just, again, likes a nitpick at every little thing that happens in the Christian realm. And if you will, if we look at the Christian world as it is in the sense of the brokenness, the division, the sin, then there's a lot to look at. And to say, I reject this. But wait a minute, we missed something, didn't we? See how we curved around something? We talked about this in the very beginning. See, really it comes down to the perfection of not me, but the one that hung on this. It's him. What do you do with Jesus? That's where it all comes down to. See, you have to basically take away from what he did, what he said, to make him, if you will, pliable to my heart, they would say. He's just a good teacher. I'll accept that. No, you can't. You can't do that. Because he's either who he said he was or he's not. Oh, well, because the church fathers wrote that in there. Yeah, right. So that they can talk about somebody that died and that they could die for, and they became the whipping post of the Roman Empire. Not only the Roman Empire, but also the Jews. Sounds like a great religion. Let's join. What do religions have in common? It's not, listen, it's not what you can do for us. It's what we can do for you. If you do these things, as we show you, you're okay. You're saved. Christ says, nope, I did it all. What do you say? Remember what Jesus said to Martha, the resurrection of Lazarus? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall have eternal life. And then at the end of that, he said to her, do you believe this? Do you? Before he even rose Lazarus from the dead, do you believe this? Do you? I speak in parables only to those who do not want to hear. To those who want to hear, I will speak. And you know this just as well as I do. When he speaks to your heart, he speaks truth. He speaks wisdom beyond this world, but also applicable in this world. And all you can say is, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I will read this. Warren Wiersbe says this. He said, what the Pharisees should have done, what Gamaliel should have done, because he was the teacher, he should have honestly investigated the evidence, diligently searched the scriptures, listened to witnesses, asked God for wisdom. For us is to encourage them, to honestly ask God to reveal himself to them, to read the Gospels. Get them one if they don't have a Bible. Steer them to the good teachers online. Invite them to church. You be, if you will, a conduit to him who is the truth. Neutrality, or we wait and see, can be, you know, something that you can't push through. I'm just telling you, there was some answers they'll give you. Well, we'll wait, we'll see. Maybe later. Maybe when my life isn't so hectic. Maybe when I'm not so busy. Maybe when I'm done having fun. So many different reasons. Yet, as Jesus said, but tomorrow your soul will be required of you. Then what? Then what? Now, they left, as we see. They left rejoicing. Yay, we got beaten. We got bloodied. We got flogged. And that's what happened. Because that word beaten means skinned. Another word for being flogged, you know, just as Jesus was. Now, whether they got 39 slashes or not, we don't know. But one thing, when they got flogged, what they would do is, remember this, it's 2 for every 3 be on the back. The 1 out of 3 would be on the front. That would really hurt. Really hurt. And yet they left rejoicing, counting it worthy to suffer shame for his name. Can you imagine that? We're afraid people reject our witness. Good golly. We all are. Come on. They might call us something like squares, or maybe they'll call us something like Christian bigots. You know, Christ isn't a bigot. You know that, right? Doesn't fit in his church either. What does Jesus stand for? What he came to do? What? Die for sin. Pointing people back to God. Pointing. This is the way. And then pointing to himself, saying, I am the way. So to belittle any sin is mockery to him. So the old saying is, I'd say, most of the time true. And that's love the sinner, hate the sin. I'm not saying that sometimes it's right to hate the sinner. That's not what I'm saying. But it's still a mentality we all have to have. It's to understand that when people are rejecting the gospel message, they're rejecting Christ. They're making a choice. When they say later, maybe, they're making a choice. They're making a decision. And that decision can cost them eternity. They leave rejoicing. They went back to the temple. Now think about that. They went back to the very place where they got arrested. They went to the temple. And then they went into every house they entered. They did not cease telling people about Jesus. Why? Because it was the truth. Why, if they were making this up, would they go right back to the temple? Come on, guys, let's spread this lie more. Let's see what they do this time. Let's try it a different angle. No, because it was true. The Spirit compelled them. They couldn't do otherwise. Except, again, go to, if you will, the gates where God's temple was supposed to be. Even though now they housed God's temple. But they went to where the people were to share their faith. See, our calling is not to save people, but to share Jesus. God is the one who brings the increase of believers. We are to cast the seed of the word, to water it with our testimony and our witness and our lives. It's one of the big reasons why God saved you and me. Not just to transform us and not just to get to heaven, but to say, look at my child. But he's not perfect. I know, but look how he looks to me. Look how he trusts me. I am the way. I am the truth. And I know you know this, but isn't it interesting how times in schools or work or wherever you're at that the person that is so eminent about not listening to you, sharing the word, is the very one that when something happens, comes up to you and says, hey, I just learned this. Will you pray for me? Amazing, isn't it? Why? Because, again, there's that truth that they desire so much. So there it is. Pretty simple. It isn't about you. It's all about him. They reject him. intellectually they try to somehow convince themselves that he's not real. They'll wait, maybe. But really it has to come down to they have to put their self-righteousness aside and realize they are a sinner, just like you and me. God is good. Amen. I am so thankful he saved me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Again, I just pray it would encourage us. Help us to see it's not about us. It really is an anger towards you. But we thank you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, that you have come to show us the way. We thank you, Lord, showing us the way you died for us. Lord, we pray for your forgiveness of the times that we're too prideful to really submit ourselves to you and yielding our lives to you and our voices for you. Help us to come before you understanding humbly that, Lord, you desire to use each of us. Maybe in a unique, beautiful way, different from each other, but still to share the truth of who you are and what you've meant to us in our lives. Bless, Lord, as we go forth. Help us not go again with our tails between our legs, but again, expecting you to do something through us and being open to that. Because truly, Lord, we can do nothing apart from you. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, give us the trust and the faith to believe that. Thank you once again for this time, Lord, in your word. I pray your spirit will transform us into the men and women that you've called each of us to be. We ask this in him who is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We do believe this. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.